Welcome to intermission. Yeah, intermission.
So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher, welcome to Wrestling Weekly. We had a week off last week.
We did. We had a week off. Doc was sick.
I think that's the first time that's happened.
The first time you've ever been sick?
No, that I had to actually...
So you've been mentally sick as far as long as I've known you. I don't know about your physical well-being.
Oh, God, Les, you have to start right in.
Well, you know what?
You have to make up for...
It's because I'm giving up American Idol for Wrestling Weekly.
Les is not in a good mood today.
Prince is opening a damn show, and I'm a huge Prince fan. I really am.
Prince is he's good.
You know, here's a little trivia for you. I had flown into Minneapolis on business in '85, and a good friend of mine, Jim Melby, who I forget the name of his website. Anyway, he sells old films, black and whites, and tapes and stuff. He worked for AWA up there for years, referee and publicity, so forth. He's on the board of directors, Cauliflower Alley, blah 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 blah. Anyway. Bob Mould, who wrote for WCW for a while, but who was also the lead guitarist and of Husker Du.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they took me down to First Avenue, where Purple Rain was filmed.
Ah.
We saw Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels.
Awesome.
Yeah, and but anyway, I mean, the funny thing is, the place was just. Like a black building on the outside, and the only sign was the street sign that said First Avenue. You know, but it had all the lights in the place. If you've seen the movie Purple Rain, all the show lights and everything were installed in the club by the movie company to do the flick.
Mm-hmm.
And then they realized what it would cost to take all this out, so they just left it.
Right.
But legitimately, it was a place where Prince hung out, so... You know.
Did you ever get to meet him?
No. But I'm a big Prince fan. I really am. I like, you know, 1999, Kiss, Purple Rain, on and on and on. It's good dance tracks. The old man liked to dance.
All right.
But what can I tell you?
I'd pay for it.
I was a disco guy. Me and John Travolta, you know.
I'd pay to see that, Les.
You wouldn't either.
We've got a great show for you tonight. Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, is going to be on the show tonight.
Yes. I've got a long history with John. We first met 68-69 in Nashville, and we'll get into more of that when we get John on the air. But a storied history, a tremendous talent. And a guy, I mean, you talk about Georgia wrestling history, Atlanta, you got to talk about wrestling too. I mean, he's a huge, huge part of it. That was one of the hottest gimmicks of its time ever, period, end of story.
Excellent. We've got a good guest coming up in the next couple of weeks also. Next week, you don't even know this, Les, because this was just done today. All this stuff was confirmed today.
Oh, you surprised me. It's not even my birthday. Okay.
next week, of course, we have been advertising that we have Lizzie Valentine from Wrestling Society X. She's
right.
Going to be on the show. But also next week, your good friend Jerry Oates from Great Championship Wrestling is coming.
All right, great, good. Yeah, that's a story we won't even talk about now.
No, we'll get to Jerry's story next week.
Yeah, and it's it was a pretty story up to a point, and it's not a pretty story currently.
Right. And in 2 weeks, of course, we've got Kevin Kleinrock. He's the producer of Wrestling Society X, and he also is the vice president of Big Vision Entertainment, who is also running that show.
Right.
And Ace Steele is going to be on the program.
Cool.
And he was the man, for all you guys that don't know Ace, who played Donald Trump.
He also is a good worker, talent that works for Ring of Honor, has worked for NOAA in Japan, is currently living in Eldon, Missouri, where Harley has his school. And, in fact, he owns the weight room right next door to Harley's training camp.
Excellent way to make business.
Yeah, and Ace is a good hand, so don't hold the Donald Trump thing against him. I'm going to tell you what, I watched that. We weren't on last week. I watched that thing. I'm shamefully admitting, I just like going to confessional. I watched it, but then, although my Ohio State guys were getting their butts handed to them by two touchdowns, I said, okay, now do I want to see Colley and Cena after watching this? No. I went back to watch my Ohio State guys get their butts handed to them.
Yeah, that was not pretty. I think that's why I got sick in the first place.
Oh, I don't know. Whatever.
Watching the national championship game.
Oh, man. I mean, it was a story of defense. Florida's was awesome, and ours didn't do anything.
No.
You know, but I'm still a Buckeye. What can I tell you?
Absolutely.
What can I tell you?
There's always next year.
Yeah. Where do we go? TNA. Well, you know, I was going to say with Kleinrock, we're having him on. I first actually met, and I say met, it was computer met, you know, internet met, cyberspace, whatever. He was promoting a little company in California back in the mid-90s when I first started HWA, and he touched base with me. And
XPW.
No, even before that.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, way before that. And he would just write and ask me questions and what I thought of this or thought of that and so forth and so on. Anyway, that was the deal. And, and here he is, vice president of Big Vision Entertainment and the main mover and shaker of XPW, which starts on
Wrestling,
the 30th.
Wrestling Society X, you mean.
Wrestling Society X. I'm sorry.
It starts on the 30th.
Yeah. On MTV. So
he's going to have his last-minute ditch on the 30th to get everybody to listen, or to get everybody to watch, Wrestling Society X.
Yeah.
Which will debut after our show.
Sure. And one of the guys that was on your extravaganza down in your hometown.
The No Second Chances show.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is also on there, too.
Yes, Josh Abercrombie.
Right.
He's playing Josh Raymond Jugg.
And if you ever get around to it, we're going to have Cody Michaels, who is also a backstage presence with Wrestling Society X. But
absolutely. Good stuff coming up.
That's another story.
Let's hit the news.
Well, let's hit the news.
Well, according to the Peoria Journal Star last week, WWE SmackDown star Sylvian. Am I pronouncing that right?
Sylvain. Sly. Just call him Sly.
Yeah.
That's his nickname anyway.
Real name Sylvain Grenier was pulled over by the police last Tuesday on Interstate 74 around 3 p.m. in Peoria, Illinois. The report says that that Sly was speeding his way to the SmackDown ECW TV tapings, going 96 miles per hour in a 55-mile-per-hour zone.
That's almost double, but I'm kind of like my old friend JR said on his blog, it must have been a slow news day.
It must have been, but...
That just made the headline.
He was arrested and booked at the Peoria County Jail. A WWE coworker paid the $200 bond to get him out of jail around 4:30, just 2 hours before the tapings, and he did end up making it. I think,
A lot of the guys, my thought when I was on the road was, opposed to supporting your local state... law enforcement agencies or local sheriff's department or whatever with speeding ticket money, My idea was to leave on time or early.
Right.
To make my shots.
Because you never know what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I mean, believe me, this is, you know, I remember years ago, before the Interstate 74 between us and Indianapolis was finished, that the Bruiser was a regular customer of the Ohio / Indiana State Highway Patrol when he would leave at the last minute and make the run from Indianapolis to Cincinnati, which is about a 100-mile trip, and he'd do it on, I forget what the ungodly time was that he recorded. He set to make that run.
Probably an hour.
About 100 miles from Indianapolis to Cincinnati Gardens is where the wrestling was promoted at back then. But, yeah, a lot of guys, like I say, just to me, I'm thinking, well, you know, let's leave a little bit early, and that way if there's traffic jams, wrecks,
right,
car stalls, whatever.
But you never know. Maybe he did leave early and all this happened. But what gets me is if he was going 98 and a 55, he was late at 3 o'clock, went to jail, got bounded out, and
well,
still
he was
made
late
it
at 3 o'clock anyway, because most guys are in the building by noon, or 1 o'clock on television day.
Well, I was going to say he should have made it on time anyway, but no.
So he was running way late to begin with. So
right. Why
I'm not sure. But.
Yeah, who knows what happened? As of last week, Paul Heyman is still under contract with WWE.
Sure.
They've not released him from his deal or fired him. He has yet to quit or resign. So at this time, he's basically getting paid to sit at home, do nothing. Either WWE has plans to use him in the future for another project, or they just want to keep him away from TNA, which they can through the length of his contract.
If you got a 20-game winner, and he's a pitcher that does, let's go back to Terrell Owens and the Eagles last year.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They sent him home.
Right.
You know, and said that you're a pain in the ass. Go home and sit down, and we don't need you. But they certainly didn't send him to one of their division teams to drive him nuts. I'm wondering if he stays with Dallas this year, because Terrell is just Terrell. What can I say?
Yeah.
But I've heard that Heyman's working on scripts, movie treatments for movies, and one thing another, which are not wrestling related. Which, you know.
That would be something.
If he's got a talent for that, hey, more power to him, man.
There is this big connection, you know, between wrestlers now and Rob Zombie, the director, who directs a lot of horror movies now. He had House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects.
Those are movies I don't watch. when I say that, I'm not downing people. I just not my bag.
He's still working on more movies and things like that. He's got a new one coming out called Halloween. It's supposed to be sort of a prequel to the Michael Myers whole deal, and I know that he's got
Halloween
some.
Halloween 99, is it?
No, it's just Halloween now.
Oh, okay.
It was like slated to be Halloween. I don't know, 12 or 13 or whatever it was.
That's one of the unanswered questions that I will go to my grave asking. I see some of these things, bits and pieces, and I think this made a lot of money. Why?
I don't know. I like
people have a lot of time on their hands. I'm not sure.
Personally, if you want to know a reason, I like taking girls to scary movies because then they get scared and they have to hold me.
Oh my God!
It's
that's relatively juvenile. How about I'll go for it? What can I say?
It's very simple.
It's like this the trailers they run on the wrestling shows of The Hitcher.
Right.
My wife and I watch One Tree Hill. Sarah Bush, who's on One Tree Hill, is in the movie, but I watch it and I'm thinking, okay, you know, I have no interest. And then I saw the thing that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I guess these guys grew up with chainsaw. I don't know. But, again, it's just not my bag, which doesn't mean people aren't making millions off of it and millions of people aren't enjoying it.
It's the whole thing. It's like a roller coaster. Some people like to be scared and they like they like a thrill.
What is my bag is when Vince does his first shoot interview ever on Monday night reading the Trump letter saying it's inept, inane, stupid. And
absolutely.
It's all the above, Vince. But Ben's also said that he doesn't listen to what you say. He tells you what to like. Well, he may try. He doesn't. But you don't have a lot of choices.
Right.
And after the TNA pay-per-view on Wednesday night, I know why you don't have a lot of choice. I mean, on Sunday night, I know why you don't have a lot of choice.
Right. Speaking of Trump...
I want a drug test of people writing the finishes for these matches.
Speaking of Trump, the projected plan, according to PW Insider now, is that Donald Trump may have some sort of involvement at WrestleMania. The idea is that, of course, Trump might be in the corner of a wrestler with Vince McMahon in the opposite corner.
Now, you and I had this conversation the other day.
Yes, we did.
And I just cannot imagine anyone rushing to spend $40 to see Donald Trump sitting in wrestler A, B, C, or D's corner. I don't envision it. And, I mean, I understand why they did for Tyson. I can understand, with the basketball, Rodman and... God, I'm catching a senior moment here. Anyway,
Karl Malone,
huh?
Karl Malone,
yes, mm-hmm. who I am a big fan of, by the way. He wanted to be a wrestler. That was one of his trips, trips of fantasy, that or a professional bodybuilder. And anyway, but these are I didn't pick up on why anybody bought the pay per view to see Leno. You had 4 weeks of plugging Federline, who. By my numerical lack of brilliance, still tells me that he's more in the age demographic that Raw is shooting for to begin with,
mm-hmm.
right?
Definitely.
And he didn't do anything for the show.
No, not really. I think he jumped it a little bit, but I mean, nothing major.
But if you'd have put that on a pay per view, I don't think so. And it's like your girl Christy coming out defending the honor of women in wrestling on Sunday night at the pay-per-view. And my first thought was, okay, besides smiling. And she tried hard to learn to work, to wrestle. Did she? Oh gosh, I don't know. I haven't seen her in the ring a long time or with anybody good. But, I mean, that whole thing that she did with BG and Kip was, I'm thinking, and what have you done in this business? Why? It's like... are we starting the women's movement? We're going to ban the bra? We're going to burn our bras in the parking lot next week? Or what exactly? Well, that was just one of the silly things that somebody wasted $30 on.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, and you're asking my opinion. I'm going to tell you, Christy Hemme could do no wrong.
Oh, I know, Doc. I know.
No wrong.
Okay, whatever. Well, she can. or somebody that wrote the script for her could do wrong.
Right.
I was kind of up with what Kip said. Hey, shut your pile. that whole show. Like, you got to talk about it, right? I mean, the Angle Joe match was good, but I mean, so much of the other stuff that went on was just. Okay, it was there.
Mm-hmm.
Two of the kids that I was involved in training, along with Scott Casey, the Riggs brothers, Jason and Johnny, got a dark match on Sunday night in a tag match, and they beat Serotonin. And the Serotonin got beat with a cane. Okay. Gosh, where have I seen that before? I don't know.
Right.
it's just, the endings to these matches or... one thing, just, I don't know. I mean, it was like Gail Kim, okay, she's managing Storm. Why? She doesn't like him. She doesn't, because somebody wrote a script that said she's supposed to go out there and grab the beer bottle. But, I mean, the point is what's he holding over her head? Is she an indentured slave? Is he married to her?
Maybe being her manager.
Maybe he has a secret over her. Maybe that everyone has a secret over everybody. That's why they're working for that company. I don't know. I mean, it's just the whole thing was just pretty pretty lame in terms of finishes for matches.
Which goes back to Jackie Gata and the whole, you're my manager, I've got this over you. And
well,
if you don't like Jackie Gata, do you want her to be your manager?
Well, one of the things that TNA has done, and again, let me paraphrase that by saying that I want to see there are three more TNAs out there. I want to see everybody succeed and do well because that means a lot of young wrestlers or old wrestlers or middle-aged wrestlers or whatever are going to work,
right.
And have a steady job. But you actually have to think about this. You actually have to put some serious thought into wrestling is – it's not – I don't know what it is. It's entertainment, I suppose. But the pay-per-view, it wasn't, you know, memorable. It was just there.
Yeah.
I thought, and you know, like I saw where they did their best crowd. The best viewing audience this past Thursday with a 1.1. And you know, that's good. But, of course, that's not selling pay-per-views.
No, and it's also...
Here's the other thing. It goes back to the in the day. Our television, it wasn't just enough to get people to watch it. They had to buy tickets at the arena.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so now it's not so much with TNA it's not the arena at all, basically, because they're not. Well, they are doing some house shows in conjunction with Sadler and so forth. But you know, it's not just wow, we've got this great number. Okay, but how's your pay-per-view selling? Oh, it's selling the same as it was last year. Okay, well then the numbers don't matter, except that somebody is paying for your production, which means that's going to keep you in business a little bit longer.
Right.
You know, but now they've cut back. The guys are paying their own hotels and rent a cars, and some of these guys aren't making that kind of money.
Right.
I mean, it's just that's bad for the morale.
Some of them might have to move to Orlando.
Well, see, that's insane. I mean, it really is. For any more than they time than they put in there, to have to live in that city just as makes no sense. And I'm sure the cost of living in Orlando is a lot. Well, as I could say for Shark Boy, who lives north of Cincinnati here in a small community where if I mentioned names, nobody'd know anyway. But for him to move down there, I mean, the cost of living would be so much higher.
Right.
You know, which I'm sure would be the same with a lot of those guys. That's not the answer. I don't know who told you that, or that you just brought that up yourself.
I just brought it up.
Well, see, there you go. We got drug test you too.
But I'm not a wrestler.
I know, and that's not the. Believe me, that's not the solution to the riddle. No, it's just you know, you have to find. Well, we got to see. I'll hitchhike to the hotel and hope some fan will come by and pick me up and ride me to the building. Okay, whatever.
Right.
No, I mean that's. At least, you know, at least work something out with the hotel. If you find everybody's flight schedule, you are buying the plane tickets. Have the shuttle pick them up, get them to the hotel, and hell, have the shuttle bring them to the park.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's something, but I mean, I don't know.
Help them out.
Well, but it goes back to, the whole Serotonin Raven thing. They put these guys in funny makeup and changed their clothes and dressed, you know, blah, 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 blah. And then they beat him every night.
Right.
So that Raven can cane them. Okay. It's exciting to me. But why give them a gimmick and waste the gimmick when they could do the jobs as themselves?
Right.
And it's not, I mean, the gimmick doesn't make the job any better. Actually, in that respect, if you are doing the job, it's the athlete that makes the job good or bad. You know, I'm going, you know, okay, I got to put Doc Young over. Here's what I need to do that.
And
to do a bad job, whatever kind of job, but that's the point, you know?
And to keep your own heat.
Huh?
Well, it's a delicate balance to the job and to keep your own heat at the same time.
Well, you know, but it comes back to the whole thing with, Rude.
Mm-hmm.
They built this whole thing up and then he's getting beat by everybody,
right.
You know, and blaming her,
right?
And that's I'm sorry is, you know, everybody. I mean, everything's being rushed too. But I know where that comes from. It's a guy who used to work at WCW. That's neither here nor there. That's where the business is at, and that's what we're going to deal with.
Here's a story coming off the pay-per-view, though. Reports are that Kurt Angle suffered a concussion. During the Iron Man match. Angle was in a lot of pain afterwards. He was looked at by the staff backstage. He claims he doesn't remember every part of the match, but he praised Joe for carrying it after he got injured. Reports are this is Angle's first concussion in 4 years. And it's also possible Samoa Joe re-injured his knee during that match. Joe's good at selling overall. So he might have been doing that on Sunday, but there's no confirmation on that or not. But he did look like he was in a lot of pain with his knee.
Well, you know what? There's a fine line there somewhere too. The whole macho attitude, the testosterone attitude of our business is, you know, the show must go on. And Helmsley tore the quad, and then he finished the match. And and that's admirable, but not if it's going to cripple him for the rest of his life.
Right.
The fact that Joe worked this match, if that creates, if that shortens his career, then that wasn't cool. I mean, for whatever reason, right? I mean,
right.
It's just, the show. But you know, you've always got to look at alternatives. It's like you're the big league, you know, owner of a big league baseball team or the manager, and you've got a 20-25 game winner. You can't build your whole season around this guy because something maybe he comes up short. You've got to have something to fill in.
Right.
There's got to be depth somewhere. You've got to have somebody, and neither company has the depth, or not so much that they don't have the talent. It's just they don't utilize it in that manner. You know, they don't keep guys hot that they aren't pushing at that moment. You know, I was saying to somebody today, one of the top talents and unsung hero of this business the last few years is Val Venus. Sean Morley spent a year, well, not a year, but he spent several months with me in HWA back a few years ago, and you know, when I had a contract with WWE, and the guy works his butt off. He understands the business, good worker. He's got a good look. He's got size. He should have a job. But I mean, what they don't understand is, well, you know, he went out there and looked at the lights again. Yeah, but he got somebody over that probably doesn't know how to walk and chew gum.
Right.
You know, but I mean, these are the guys that you know, that's the blue collar workers of this business.
And Val Venus's longevity.
Yeah.
Reminds me of Bob Holly a lot.
And then I watch guys who couldn't carry, quite frankly, shouldn't be able to carry his bag in terms of talent, and they're getting their hand raised. So, I mean, is it justice? No. But, of course, that's the nature of the beast.
That's wrestling.
That's the nature of the beast, yeah. You know, you forwarded an email to me last week from a young man who said, did Les really wrestle? I think so. I sent him LesThatcher.com website so he could look at the pictures and the press clippings himself.
Right. Les has proof, my friends.
But let me just talk about that. I mean, I'm not going to dwell on it or build on it or anything, but, you know, I made me think, you know, I don't know. We don't talk about my career a lot.
No.
You know, or if I've had one, and, of course, you know, you young pups have no reason to know that I've ever had a career. I broke in this business as a wrestler at age 19 in 1960. I wrestled for 20 years. I worked the Tampa territory, the Charlotte territory, the Atlanta territory, Mobile territory, Louisiana territory, and on. I can go on and on, but I you know, Nashville, Knoxville, wherever. My broadcasting career overlapped that. I started broadcasting in 1970 and did both broadcasting and wrestled for the next 10 years. Hung up the tights in 1980. Was involved in management, producing television, hosting television, and so on. Started training guys in 1993, and have been doing that ever since. So,
yeah.
Yes.
I think we, at least once a show, there's a story about when you were a wrestler.
I don't know. You know what? I don't pay it. You know, honestly, maybe you're right, and I don't know. But that just brought to mind, well, some of these young people that listen to the show may not realize that. Who's that guy to be talking like that? Well, that's who I am.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how many thousands of matches I've had. I feel blessed to have worked with some of the top talents in the business, Harley among them. When we were young, Harley Race, the Funks, Jack Briscoe. I wrestled Flair when he was a rookie. A lot of top guys. Anderson Brothers. I was more predominant in tag team situations. I had some great tag team partners whose names I may mention and nobody know. Nelson Royal, who was one of the world junior heavyweight champions. Roger Kirby is one of the world junior heavyweight champions. Both are my tag team partners. Extensive time. Danny Miller, Scott Casey, who trained Booker T. You know, so yes, I had a very extensive career. You can see, and believe me, it's just I stress out sometimes and look at my own website because it's very not updated. And there's so much more memorabilia that if someone knew how to scan it in and put it up there, it could go up there. But,
Right. Yeah,
you can go to LesThatcher.com and see some of my background. So
check the man out. We were speaking earlier about Trump versus Rosie. The Wrestling Observer is reporting that they received a lot of mainstream coverage last week.
They did?
Following the match. Entertainment Tonight made a brief mention about it.
Okay.
Good Morning America aired 30 seconds of the match.
And you know what the telling story was for me?
What's that?
Howard Stern couldn't stand to watch it.
Yes.
And wondered why anybody else did. And I thought, well, Howard's into stupid, you know, and comedy and sexual innuendo, and if he didn't deal with it.
If the king of filth didn't like it, you know.
Well, you know what? I saw no value in it. And it was telling if you you could hear the chants, right? What were they chanting?
We want wrestling.
Not we want sports entertainment. We want wrestling. Boring and TNA. And see, there's what I keep saying. Ring of Honor, to me, is the alternative currently. Although they have their 130-pound flip-flop and fly division, guys that want to talk about concussions that want to give themselves 30 because so they can bounce off their heads and stuff. But their normal main, you know, Bryan Danielson was a hell of a heavyweight champion for them, as was Samoa Joe. TNA has a lot of those same guys under contract. They could very well follow that same path, and they elect to do stupid comedy too.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't, you know, whatever. The product is not that fascinating right now.
No. The Pro Wrestling Torch is reporting that, according to some observers within WWE, Shawn Michaels appears to be very overdue for some time off from the road. New reports have suggested that WWE's grueling schedule have finally caught up with Michaels physically, with the long overseas flights being tough on his lower back. Now, Shawn doesn't take any pain pills. It's against his beliefs. So while he isn't masking the injuries he might have, he's also not exactly pain-free either. What makes things worse for Michaels is that Triple H's quad injury puts added pressure on him to remain on the road, you know, hyping up DX still. And he's very, you know, on a short list of top guys right now in WWE.
Well, there's not a lot of top guys in it. I mean, when I say that, there's not. I mean, listen, I watch OVW, and there ain't any top guys there either. I understand that Deuce and Domino with Cherry are coming up. It's like they're from the cast of Grease. That's the gimmick. Is it a good tag team? I'm not great. Maybe better than Crime Time. There's just not, you know. Guys are not given a chance to develop by working with veterans over the long haul before they put on the main stage.
Right.
There's not a lot of depth in the business. There are guys who are wrestling on pay-per-views today that couldn't have bought a ticket to one 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just... And when I say that, am I bitter? The old man's bitter? No, it's not that. It's just... It's what I see. You know, facts are facts.
Right.
The product is very weak at this point, overall, in the entire industry. And, you know, that's for whatever reason. You know, they're teaching these guys to be overly animated characters and not too concerned with their in-ring. And this whole business is built around psychology.
Right.
You know, or used to be, and it should still be. You were mentioning Jerry Oates. When Jerry and I had a conversation over the weekend, he mentioned to me that his he and his brother, Teddy was also a wrestler, and Teddy had said to him in a conversation just a few weeks back that there are so many persons in our business today who do not respect the business, nor those who paved the way for them. And when Teddy said, when we go to our grave, sadly enough, we're going to take the art and the respect with us. And he's right. Can I get an amen?
It's entirely possible.
Well, it is. A lot of young guys don't want to be told they're wrong.
Right.
And they don't want to be right. They're not. It's not learning the psychology of this business, learning how to actually you manipulate the audience opposed to listening to their inept screamings and trying to do whatever they say. Everybody's a critic. Everybody's an expert. They're not. You are supposed to control the audience. To be able to do that and toy with their emotions, you have to understand the psychology of this business. Is that easy to learn? It absolutely is not. It is hard work, and it you know, and when guys refuse, I go to some of these independent place, you know, camps and school that have schools, and I use the word schools loosely, have buildings with rings in them, and guys working on shows steady that don't even train.
Right.
Now, where did Ric Flair come from? Where did Benoit? Let's use Benoit because he's younger. These guys came from the last of the territories, where they worked almost every night, and they worked with guys who were veterans, and they list, they shut their mouths and opened their ears and did what they were told, mm-hmm. and they learned the business. But that's not the case now. It's like the blind leading the blind. And, hey, man, I don't need to train. I've been in the business 15 minutes. Congratulations. You know, I know I tell a lot of guys that I work with, I said, look, you think I work with Ric Flair. He had been in the business 1 year when I first wrestled him, or approximately a year, give or take a few weeks here or there. Do you think that was a Ric Flair that everyone raves about currently, about the Ric Flair that had the matches with Ricky Steamboat? Absolutely not. And it took him several years to become that Ric Flair. But he was also wrestling 5-6 nights a week and working with veterans like myself. And he was picking, and when I say, oh, Les Thatcher trained, no, I didn't train Ric Flair, but I'll guarantee you he picked something up from me, mm-hmm. you know, because that's how you learn.
Right.
You know, that's just the way it is, or was, I should
say. It's not like this anymore. It's manufactured characters.
Well, no, hey, Doc, you and I are buddies. Let's pretend we're wrestling. We'll buy some tape. We'll pick up these moves. We have no idea how to sequence these moves together to make sense out of them. We'll just do them. Hey, there's a neat quadruple somersault into a handstand. Okay, I'm going to do that 40 times in this match. Who gives a damn?
Right.
But now, you and I, well, I'm going to tell you what, and I'll tell you who they are. Irish Airborne, who are a couple good kids from Dayton, who the Chris brothers, Jake and David, who wrestle for Ring of Honor, taught themselves. And it's taken them 5 years to get a grip, and they still have. I mean, they still have a long way to go. And when I say that, I'm not. I don't mean that in a knocking way. I'm just, you know, again, I'm a coach, and I'm evaluating talent. When they were brought to me, well, back before I sold HWA, so it's been over 4 years ago, four or five years ago. Somebody said, these two kids from Dayton, and come out and watch them in the ring. Okay, so I went out. Well, first thing I saw was they were skinny.
Right.
You know, again, it's not so much to me about size, but it's looking like an athlete.
Right. You mean the Chris brothers, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So anyway, they said, what do you want to see? I said, chain wrestling. And they both looked at me like, does he speak English? Because all they knew was flip, flop, and fly. The BS of that.
Right.
Okay? I can't use that word, so I have to say the BS of that. And it is BS to me when it's overdone. So I realized, well, I'm talking to myself here. I said, well, do whatever you show me whatever you got, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So a minute and a half, maybe two. I didn't say anything to the guy that brought them. There's a couple other people in the gym. This is in the afternoon, but we weren't training at the time. The training was over, between training sessions. And I just turned around without saying a word and started back to my office. And the guy stopped me. He said, where are you going? I said, back to my office. Why? I said, because these guys have done what they're doing right now 10,000 times with each other,
mm-hmm.
and means absolutely nothing to me. It's choreographed. I'm not interested. Now, if they want to come back, when some of my guys are in here and try to work with somebody they've never seen before in their life, I'm interested to see what they got. And they had nothing. I can tell you exactly what they had. And they've had to learn to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they still get off the beaten track, but that's part of that reason is they don't have the talent to work with. Brian Danielson is a gem. Nigel McGuinness is a gem. These young guys have transcended that. They understand psychology, understand how to build a match. Danielson probably, to me, is the best champion. Somebody's going to say Les Thatcher's smoking something, smoking crack or whatever. Danielson comes across to me as a legitimate champion. A champion should be able to carry a match, and when I say carry a match, it means lead. He should be able to take you out there and elevate you. And slow the match down when it needs to be slowed down, speed it up when it should be speeded up. Danielson can do that. John Cena, who I love dearly, David Batista, who I like, I have no issues with either one of them. I don't know Bobby Lashley. Your three WWE champions aren't that caliber of talent. Not because they couldn't possibly be, it's because they aren't yet. Will they be? I don't know. That only time's going to tell.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So, as far as TNA, I have all the admiration for what Sting has done. Sting was made by a guy by the name of Flair. And as long as Sting has an adequate heel to lead him, he's a good talent, too. And when I say that, I'm not talking down or spitting on him. He can't lead him. A lot of guys aren't good leaders, you know. But to me, a man wearing the strap should be. And that's what I grew up with, Dory, Terry, Jack Briscoe, Harley, flair, you know, and that's what it should be.
Right.
But again, you can't teach what you don't know. So that's where the business has gone, sadly enough. Okay, the old man's off of his rant. It's over. Let's move. You know, speaking of Ring of Honor, they're coming to Dayton next month, and I saw where they're going to have some of the NOAH stars. I'm not sure who that's going to be, but the NOAH, a couple of the NOAH guys are going to be in from Japan for 2 weekends, that weekend, which will be in Dayton and I think Chicago, and the weekend before when they're, I'm not sure where, but up east somewhere. That's where we're seeing. I mean, the NOAH guys are, I mean, that's the style, that's wrestling. And before I end the rant, let's just compare everything with who's blown. We went through this on the show a couple weeks ago. Who's blown everybody away in pay-per-views? UFC. Why? Because it's solid and it's athletic-based and it's not stupid comedy.
Right.
Or it's not just acrobatics. You know, so there you go.
Let me ask you this, though. If you had a WWE or a wrestler that pretty much based themselves off UFC, they stopped all the comedy bits, they got real serious with the guys, they had, you know, a roster full of complete professional, you know, trained really well and things like that, and you still had the choice, WWE or UFC, I think the fans would come down to which one is real.
Well, see, but I got to understand, we did basically what UFC is doing back in the 60s and the 70s, but we did it with some flair and some showmanship, right?
Right.
And we controlled the finishes. It's like you realize that there's nothing wrong with the fact that when you buy I could never understand years ago, somebody would pay $50 to see a boxing show on HBO, and it's over 60 seconds into the first round. Excuse me. Where's my rebate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's my refund, or where's my, you know, what do I get extra for this? Nothing. But that's, I mean, there's nothing. No, I'm not saying UFC controls it, but UFC has learned, wherever they learned it, is that conflicting personalities, both guys vying for the same brass ring on the same merry-go-round, interest people. Now, you're going to say, well, wrestling's a show in the UFC. I don't care. You know, a good drama on television or a good movie is a show, too, right? We all know that before you spring for the $8 to see the movie or 10 or wherever you live, whatever it costs. But if those actors are doing what their job is, then they're hooking you and you forget that it's a particular actor. He becomes that character. And I think baseball draws. I think basketball draws at college professional level. Football definitely does. Why? I think it's because it's about competition. Right?
Very good point.
I know that, which doesn't mean anything. You know? But no, and would a lot of the people that watch WWE now not watch again? Yes. You know what? I don't care. You know why I don't care? Because it would bring some of the actual professional wrestling fans back that died on the vine when the two companies merged and when WCW became a goofy cartoon show.
Mm-hmm.
And it was some new fans. But again, that's what wrestling has always been. And what Vince said from Donald Trump's letter is, I don't know who, you know, maybe Vince, is that going to change WWE? No, I don't think so. Vince is still going to do what Vince wants to do.
Right.
And I respect, I mean, it's his party. He can cry if he wants to,
mm-hmm.
right? But the point is, he's right. Donald didn't write that letter. Somebody at the company wrote it, but they heard the people in the audience last week
right.
with the Trump thing. And here's the other part. It's hard to give me 45 minutes of stupid comedy and then expect me to shift gears and get serious and believe you're trying to kick my hind end for the next 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Very true.
The build-up to the Super Bowl is not Rex Grossman of the Chicago Bears doing a soft shoe with a lampshade on his head.
Right.
Is it?
No.
No. If anybody out there listening watched any football this past weekend, if they were at all like me, it was those close games that came down to a field goal that made it worth watching.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I'm going to tell you the truth. You mentioned Shawn Michaels needing time off. He could have taken it last night as far as I was concerned because when I heard he was in another one of those stupid handicap matches, I didn't watch it. I don't care what happened. My thought is, Sean, whether you love God or you don't, you're an ass for going out there to take on two guys. Mm-hmm. Are you just nuts? I mean, you want me to say, he's brave. No, he's stupid. If you and three other guys are waiting for me out in my driveway, if I'm coming, brother, I'm coming with a gun. seriously, right? Or I'm not coming at all.
Right.
I'm not so dumb. I'm a badass. I don't care what you are. 2-on-1, and if they're at the same level you are, you're done.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I don't think Peyton Manning next week is going to, when he finds out that they're only going to allow half the Colts on the field to play the Patriots, he's not going out there. Because he'd be stupid if he did.
Right.
So, again, there's no realism to what they're doing. None. N-O-N-E. None.
And that's what's turning everybody off.
Or what's the other word that I tried to teach you, and you understand S-E-X and B-O-O-B-S, but you don't understand L-O-G-I-C. Damn it. Get a grip. I'm sorry. There's a guy that's our guest, and I think concur with me on this.
Yes, if we had like an applause soundtrack right now, I'd play it.
Well, I'm not asking you to play it. You know what? I talked to a guy who used to do a talk show from Cincinnati here, a wrestling talk show, Paul Smalls. And now he's a fan. He's not an old wrestler like me. He's not even he's probably half my age.
Mm-hmm.
Paul, you guys don't have your show anymore? No. Well, there were a couple reasons, which I'm not going to go into because I don't want to get into that. But one of them was, Les, all I could hear myself talking about every week was how horrible the product was. And I had nothing positive to say. Thank you. But, I mean, these are the people that are being honest, right?
Right.
I mean, they really are. And speaking of language, that just made me think. I was on the message board on Wrestling Weekly.
Uh-huh.
You know what? I grew up in locker rooms, and I probably knew more four-letter words than any two guys listening to this show tonight. And in the right environment, we'll burn you with them if you screw up in my ring,
uh-huh.
in a training center. But I won't do it publicly. It's pretty low class.
Did you see something on the board that I didn't?
I think so. It was about the awards. It was one thing, and they were ripping into some guy. He was this and that and the other thing, and he was. I'm thinking, Jesus.
This was our board?
Yeah, well, I got on a forum from our board. I guess it's our board.
Okay, yeah. Our link goes directly to our forum. We have nothing to do with what's on the other forums for the other shows.
I just thought, man, how vulgar. I mean, and again, I can be as vulgar as anybody, but in the right environment.
Right.
I would have said that last week, but you were sick.
I've looked at that, but I'm not getting into that stuff.
Yeah, I had made a note to mention that. See, I am not cyberspace smart. I'll tell everybody, and you know, not bragging, I'm not complaining either. I'm just not. So whose board it is, why it is, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought, God, I hope my granddaughters don't ever see this.
Right.
Yeah.
Ours doesn't go to the there's about on those forums is space for about five or six shows. What Les is talking about, guys, is another one of these shows that's on there, and there's this big argument, I guess, going on about it. But you know, it got really mean spirited. I mean, it wasn't even about wrestling or the show anymore.
I go on a message, independent message board here, and I've been on one. It's done in Indiana. I've been on one a couple other places. And all these wannabes, hobbyists, backyarders, whatever, are ripping on each other. You're nothing. You're not professional. Professional? None of you are. You don't even know what the word means,
mm-hmm.
and if you were and had any class at all, you wouldn't be on this board ripping on each other.
Right.
You know, I mean, I think if Jesus came back and worked in the independent, somebody would be ripping him.
Right.
I mean, it's just, it's stupid.
I like to keep our board nice and clean. I noticed that when there is an argument going on, everyone starts posting and get up there, you know, the post count and all that. I don't care about that. I don't care if our board's blank or if you don't use it at all. We would like you to.
But, well, you know, somebody can say Les is a dumbass. They can say we don't pay attention to what he says. We don't agree with him. You know what? I don't have a problem with that.
Right.
But I'm not going in there and call your mother a hooker or
right.
You know, or something like, you know, that's, you know, it was a few years back. It was a kid posted on a board here. This kid I never met. I still haven't met him. I don't know where he came up with an opinion on me, except it probably some hobbyist that I ripped on because the guy didn't want to learn to work right. You know, it was a friend of his or something. But anyway, I remember the opening statement, and back then I didn't even know how to get on a computer, but somebody printed it out and saw to it that I read it.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy opened this. I may only be 19 and been in the business 6 months. I've only been 19 and been in the business 6 months. But Les Thatcher's this, and Les Thatcher's that, and Les Thatcher's this, and Les Thatcher's that. And I thought, Jesus, did I sleep with this guy's mother? Am I his illegitimate father or what? I mean, I don't really, I miss child support to him or what? I don't even know, right? And they said, well, how are you going to answer? I said, answer? He says, I'm 19, I've been in the business 6 months.
Right.
I left more wrestling knowledge in my bathroom today than he's apt to ever have, okay? And to answer him is to... You know, if you argue with idiots, then it's hard to, at some point, it's hard to tell who the idiot is.
Right.
So I don't, thank you very much. But you know what? They enjoy ripping on me, and that's cool. Here's my resume. Where's yours?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the way I look at it. Here's where I've been, and excuse me, who are you again? That's the problem. These guys who have never done anything, you know, or some of these guys, you know, Les Thatcher breaks kayfabe. Get a life. Vince blew that back 20 years ago.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I come on here and start talking like this was all a shoot, we'd have nobody listening.
Right.
Would we?
No.
No. Okay.
I wouldn't even listen. I would just put the microphone
on. Well, I wouldn't either. I think, why am I here? Why am I talking like? I mean, I would feel like I would be talking down to our fan base.
Right.
You know? But yet, guys have gone on the local board here. Well, you know, he's smarting people up. Are you ribbing me? Listen, when I did the, I was on a Clear Channel station here. I had a 3-hour block on Wednesday nights for 2 years. And when I first started doing it, Doc, I'll be very honest, it was tough to talk about work rate and finishes and, you know, stuff like that, because that wasn't the way I was indoctrinated into this business.
Mm-hmm.
But I also knew if I was going to do this show, that was why. But, you know, we had a lot of fun with that show. I mean, we really did. And I had some great, I wish I had it all on tape, and I don't. One time Benoit and Malenko were in town and had the night off, and the three of us went to dinner, and they came down and did the whole 3-hour block in studio. One night there was a house, WWF then had a house show here, and so I sent one of my kids from the training camp out to the gardens, and he brought Rhodey, Foley, D'Lo, and Steve Regal.
Excellent.
Down to the studio to be on live. And Foley and D'Lo, that was when Regal had that silly gimmick of a man's man
right.
song. Okay. Well, Foley and D'Lo sang that theme song on my show. You know, I mean, we just had a great time. But, you know, so I guess we all smartened the world up, you know, or whatever. But, I mean, it just... I have a problem with the independents for a lot of reasons, but that it's that they're not, for, you know, they don't take the business seriously. You know, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I say they, I guess that's generalizing, but a huge percentage, right? It's just they are hobbyists or play babies or whatever.
Mm-hmm. If you're a wrestling fan and you say, well, I want to start my own promotion, I'm going to do an indie show here, and you are the one who knows more than everybody else, it's not going to be a very good show.
Well, you know, but see, that, I mean, it's so much a buddy system thing, right? Gosh, I started a promotion, and here's my overweight sister, and she's going to be my sexy valet,
right.
And here's my mongoloid idiot brother. He's going to be my world champion, and he can barely walk and chew gum at the same time. It's crazy. I mean, it is just hobby. I mean, it can't be anything else because 90% of these people can't figure they're going anyplace.
Mm-hmm.
They really can't, you know. And is that okay? Not really. because it's detrimental to that 10% or 15% that actually want to do something, you know? One of the sad things, I think, about the business today is so many guys think, if I get on the juice and get muscular, I'll be a professional wrestler. No. Well, you might, there are some guys like that have got jobs, but they can't work. You know, but they don't think they have to have a talent. They just have to, to have that look.
And a gimmick.
And sadly enough, it's coming to that, I'm afraid, at some point.
Oh, Lord, help us.
You're right. God save us.
The wrestling God, whoever you are, please hear us now. Please stop this.
No, I just, it's, like I say, it's fun when I talk to people that aren't my age or from within the business who have the same, I'm thinking, well, it can't be all wrong. I'm not crazy, but there are people that are wrestling fans that don't watch the product now. Well, when we had James Gutman on a while back, he was saying that guys from the generation after me that he has interviewed on his board on Wrestling Insanity don't watch the product either.
Mm-hmm.
And they're more current, than my generation.
Right.
So
that's sad.
Well, it is, because that's like saying, well, Willie Mays can't watch baseball. Joe Theismann quit his job as an analyst at football because the game's gone to hell. The game hasn't changed. I shouldn't say that. A little bit they protect the quarterback, a little more, yada, yada, yada. But the basics are still the basics,
Right.
Well, see, but that's something, too. You mentioned to promote, to start a minor league baseball team, which there's one up in Dayton, and there's one across the river in Florence, Kentucky. I think they're both Class A. Which is the lowest, but one of the lower leagues. Now, you want a Class A baseball franchise, a team to be in a league, you don't want every owner in that league. You're screened for a background. Every owner in that league has a vote to whether they're going to let you in. I don't care if you got $10 trillion or nickel, right?
Right.
Doc, you woke up this morning with time on your hands and kind of bored. Hey, I think I'll be a wrestling promoter. If you've got enough money, before the sun sets, you can be in business.
That's true.
And just bring guys in off the streets and say, lace them up, man. You're the man.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you're not, but... but that's it. And then I see people pay to go to these shows. And for those who are trying to actually run good shows, the guys Altitude out in Denver, New England Championship Wrestling up in, just off the top of my head, I mean, there's more than those two, but I know my kids years ago used to say, why are you so upset about these other shows? Well, you go out and ABC comes to town and you sell people who are wrestling fans tickets and they see the quality of your product. Wow, I shouldn't have spent that money. Well, then 6 months later, DEF promotion comes in with the same low standards, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then the OVWs or the HWAs or the whatevers aren't going to get a chance to take your $10 because they don't have the marketing strategies or the money to invest to do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like to you in this small community where they're running in the armory, well, that's another one of those stupid little companies. Man, I've been burned twice. I'm not going to be burned again.
Right.
And that happens so often. That's
It's like a virus.
You're right. You're right. You're absolutely right.
It just keeps catching on and catching on.
Yeah. But there are good wrestlers. I mean, and again, going back to TNA, they've got some top kids, Styles and Chris Daniels and Jerry Lynn's back in harness now and Saban and I mean I can go on, but they're not being utilized properly. As far as I'm concerned, the writers aren't writing anything that makes any sense to me, the company itself keeps saying they need more time, but yet they take and how much time is eat up with the VKM challenge? How much time is with the paparazzi challenge? and how much is that going to draw you? Who bought that pay-per-view to see either one of those shows? I mean, either one of those segments.
Right.
Nobody, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you bought the show, you probably bought it for, well, you might have bought it for Styles and Rhino. You might, and you bought it for Angle and Joe. But it wasn't for the, or it wasn't to see Eric Young looking for sex toys. A little bit of that goes a long way, I think, you know? So I think we're shooting ourselves in the foot. And when I say we, I mean the industry as a whole, from every level, you know, from entry level right to the top.
I was so happy when the show started. Now I'm depressed.
Well, you know what? I'm not a good, I'll never run for governor or mayor because I'm not smart enough to tell you it's cool when it's not.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
You know, I don't know how to do it. And when I, am I speaking for the masses? No. But I'm speaking for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people come up to me and say, well, you know, I don't watch wrestling anymore. And I mean, people that I don't really know, people that have seen me because of the Pillman Show or 2020 or MTV when I was on those, you know, and say, oh, you're, yeah, huh? You know, I used to watch wrestling. You don't anymore? No. Well, they don't have a lot of wrestling. And they're right.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and they're not interested in, you know, if I want to see good comedy, I'll see Eddie Murphy or Robin Williams, who actually are comedians,
yeah,
believe it or not, right? And, well, it's just, you know, even your favorite segment, the bikini contest or the nightgown contest are getting booed now.
Yeah.
Nobody cares.
Right, because they know they're not going to see anything.
Exactly. Well, it's been, and that's the other thing. So much of this stuff is overdone, you know? I watched Kenny Dykstra and Flair come to the ring last night. How many times have these two guys wrestled in the last month?
Right.
And then somebody else will say, well, didn't, you know, Flair's, yeah, they did wrestle a lot, but there was a story building to why they wrestled. And they didn't wrestle every week on TV,
mm-hmm.
you know? It's a lot of little things that make the big things work that aren't being utilized. That's probably, I guess, the easiest way to say it.
Right.
So
let's switch gears quickly, get through the rest of the news. We've got, of course, Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker, is going to be on the program. We're going to give him a little extra time tonight. According to PW Insider, Hulk Hogan made an appearance on Bubba the Love Sponge radio show. During Hogan's appearance, he took a phone call live on the air from Vince McMahon's secretary, Ann Russo. Russo was calling Hogan to let him know about the candidates for the Hall of Fame ceremony this year and who he thinks should be inducted. Now, Russo, who had no idea she was on the air, read off the following names as candidates for the Hall of Fame. The Von Erichs, Ultimate Warrior, the Iron Sheik, Ric Flair, Mr. Fuji, Nick Bockwinkel, Muhammad Ali, Mr. T, Mike Tyson, Howard Finkel, Jim Ross, Ken Patera, King Curtis, Ted DiBiase, Jake the Snake, Honky Tonk Man, Randy Savage, Dusty Rhodes, Dick Ebersol, who was...
I know who Dick Ebersol is.
Right, the NBC exec, created Saturday Night's Main Event.
Sure.
The Wild Samoans, Big Boss Man, Bob Backlund, Rick Rude, the Bushwhackers, Rocky Johnson, and the Brooklyn Brawler. Hogan was then asked by Russo to pick names from the list that he thought would be good candidates this year. Hogan named off Boss Man, King Curtis, Dusty Rhodes, Randy Savage, and the Wild Samoans, the Von Erichs, Rick Rude, and the Bushwhackers. In what was described as a funny moment during the show, when Russo told she was live on the air, she sounded shocked and noted she would be getting into trouble for saying the names for the public to hear. Hogan then left the studio to take a call from, you guessed it, Vince McMahon, who was not happy about the names going
well,
over
you know
the
what?
Air.
Well, here's the first thing. I understand why Vince would be hot.
Oh, yeah.
I think it was a stupid thing to do. But, of course, Terry being who he is, Hogan, I mean, he's not going to get fired. He can't. He doesn't work for the company.
No, but...
And with his status as an icon or legend or whatever you want to call him, it's, you know, and him and Vince, I'm sure, have gone to war in the past. The other thing is frightening to me that they're asking him what he thinks.
Yeah, that's what first jumped out at me about that whole thing. That was wow.
Yeah, because too many politics. Because too many of those guys are from his time,
mm-hmm.
and some of those, and I would say a lot of those guys probably have good cause to be considered.
Right.
But the other part is that, you know, here's the thing too. You got to understand. If 10 guys have all vying for the top spot in a territory or in a company, as it were, currently. There's going to be political maneuverings. There's going to be animosity, just because of the competitive spirit of the thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Got to realize we're all, you know, we can say why we're in this business. We can come up with a million reasons, but it's all because we want to be seen
mm-hmm.
and show off for a bunch of people,
right?
In our underwear. So I know, that's simplification, obviously, but that's basically what it amounts to. So we all have egos. So we all want to, did I want to be world champion? Yeah, until I realized that whatever ingredient, besides the fact that I wasn't big enough, that was never going to happen, but I understood it,
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean I never wanted it, right?
Right.
Or it doesn't mean that I would have turned it down had it been offered to me, even though I shouldn't have it. But, I mean, the point is, that when you've got a bunch of guys from the same spot, vying for the same spot, that there were animosities, and to ask one of them if the other guy should be inducted is, you're going to get some of the wrong answers, that's all.
Right. I mean, what if you weren't friends with Hogan at
that's
the time?
That's what I mean. Or he said, well, you this guy is horrible. He's a bad talent. Or you had told somebody, well, that guy's stealing the limelight, and he heard about it, so he's going to knock you.
Of course.
So that was the wrong approach, and that was... That I'm like you. That when I read that or heard about that, that jumped off the page at me as well.
Now, of course, Hogan's not going to get in trouble over this, but
like I said, how can he be?
There's no word yet on the fate of poor Ann Russo.
Ann is a nice lady. She has been in that office for a lot of years.
Yeah, and she's not related.
I would hope. It wasn't her fault.
She is not related to Vince Russo, by the way, people.
No, she is not. No, and I say I know Ann. Like, we've had conversations on the phone and in person
mm-hmm.
A few times, but she's a very efficient. If she weren't, she wouldn't have been there so long.
Right.
But I don't, I can't see how you can blame her on this.
Somebody's going to have to be to blame.
I'm sure she didn't have Bubba the Love Sponge on her radio to find out that she was on or even knew where Hogan was at when he made the call.
Right, but what's really weird is McMahon did.
Well, whatever.
Either that or somebody told him while it was going on.
Well, I would say that when she got off the phone, she told him.
It's possible, yes.
Well, I'd say that would be the smart move,
mm-hmm.
Don't
let him find out another way.
Because she's smart enough to know that it's going to get, it's going to cause trouble.
Right.
And rather than have it get, try to hide that and have somebody read it in the sheets or on one of the websites and get back to him with it 2 days later.
Right.
It would have been a worse situation. So I think she did. If she did, if he were in the office, she went directly to him or called him on the office phone or on the intercom or text message, whatever. I think she did the right thing.
Right.
Because Ann's been there a long time. She's a good lady, and she's certainly extremely efficient in her job.
ECW CM Punk has a new blog up where he talks about a funny story about another WWE wrestler receiving a phone number from a woman named Jennifer and then leaving the piece of paper on the floor at his apartment, only to see Punk get confronted by his girlfriend Maria about it. You can check that out at WWE.com if you want a quick laugh. One last thing. This is a possible spoiler for tonight, so if you don't want to hear it, turn your radio down for about 1 minute.
A spoiler for tonight?
Yes. PW Insider is reporting that Monty Brown is backstage tonight.
Yeah. Well, I understand something about he's supposed to debut.
And he's supposed to debut tonight.
I was talking about, Deuce and Domino and Cherry, the Grease cast.
Right.
I think they're supposedly... debuting on SmackDown tonight as well.
That's going to be that's a new gimmick. I think I don't think I've seen that one before.
The gimmick's all right. I just, and when I say I'm not sure how good the team is, I'm not, because where OVW used to be good solid wrestling with Danny and Doug Basham and Nick Densmore and Rob Conway and guys like that, it's not that now.
Mm-hmm.
It's more, and I understand that, again, the people who are subsidizing the company, WWE, want you to teach these people to be more entertainers and not, So you can't really tell how good or bad. Now, Snuka's kid is, I forget if he's Deuce or Domino. I worked with him at camp out in Vegas a few years ago. He's a decent hand. He's not, you know. Now, how much has he improved since then? It's hard for me to tell you. I don't know.
Right. I've only heard things about it, but I heard he was pretty good.
Well, again, it's more, you know, now it's more about the sizzle and not the steak.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about, you know, doing stupid, elaborate body movements and screaming at the top of your lungs and hoo-haying and everybody's trying to do like when Cena comes out. And again, when I say this, I'm not knocking John. He's a good kid, and I have a lot of respect for him and what he's done. But now it's almost like when I watch their TV, when I say theirs, meaning OVW, it's almost like everybody's trying to be him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in their body line, it's like, are you guys all on speed or something? Everybody's jumping, throwing their fists in the air and leaning, or the Jeff Hardy movement, it's all okay.
Right.
But that's the whole point too. This used to be a business of individuals, not a cookie cutter. You know, it's like I have Danny Davis is a longtime fan, a friend of mine who is Jimmy Cornette's partner in OVW. I respect him highly. Al Snow is a personal friend, and I respect both their talents in terms of training wrestlers because I've seen them train good wrestlers, but they're not being asked to train wrestlers now. They're being asked to train entertainers.
Yeah.
And I watch these guys, and I think, okay, so you got a great body, and you're doing all these goofy movements. Can you work? I doubt it. You know, but it doesn't seem to be the point.
Yeah, we definitely have to get Uncle Al back on the show soon and get his thoughts on that.
Uncle, he's your uncle now.
I call him.
Happy to know he's not that much older than you.
I call him Uncle Al. I don't know why. There's one question in the chat room that I would like to bring up before we take our break.
Okay.
Mr. Grappling Cubed. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering what that's supposed to mean.
Mr. Grappling Cube.
Mr. Grappling Cubed is
okay.
His name.
Works for me.
He says, Les, when was your last match? Against who? How did it go? And was it planned to be your last match, or did you get injured?
No, I just kind of phased myself. No, I didn't get injured. I just kind of phased myself out. I wrestled for 20 years. To be quite frank, you don't remember who my last match was because I filled in a few before I quit completely. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember working with Ronnie Garvin toward the end, Dennis Condrey. I don't remember exactly who the last match was with. But anyway. I was producing television, working in the offices, and hosting a TV show and trying to wrestle at the same time. And I juggled that ball for a lot of years,
right.
You know. In fact, from 1974 to 1977, I was helping produce Knoxville show, Mid-Atlantic, and I was wrestling for both companies and traveling back and forth between both territories on a weekly basis. It gets old after a while, tiring too. But anyway, as I was pushing 40, I thought, well, you know, as far as my in-ring career, I thought what I was capable of physically and so forth and so on. I was close to 40. I realized that I could be in production and produce shows and host for a lot longer.
Mm-hmm.
The younger guys were getting bigger. And I just decided, well, you know, I've had a good run, I thought, you know, and it's so I'm just going to move on to the next phase. You remember when you had Joe Hamilton on, he said he had two or three careers in the same business, and I feel the same way as a producer, host, editor, trainer, and wrestler, and feel very blessed to have been able to do that. So, it wasn't an injury. I could have gone ahead and worked a few more years. I just elected not to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's good to know. A little insight into Les's career there, especially toward the end. We're going to take a break right now. When we come back, Mr. Wrestling 2 is going to be here, Johnny Walker. Stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. It's Wrestling Weekly, and it's fun.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Here's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, the best of Raven, Enigma, the best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, the best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different? Well, 4w-wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4w-wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hi, my name's Adam Newdelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Newdelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. Les, we have a great guest on.
Yes, we do. I want to introduce, he's a personal friend and has been since we first met, I believe it was 68 or 69, in Nashville. He's worn many hats in this business. We're going to talk about all that. But I guess the main thing he's known for is if you talk about wrestling history in the state of Georgia, Atlanta, Channel 17, then everyone has heard of Mr. Wrestling, too. And I'm so proud to have on the show tonight, my friend Johnny Walker. John, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. I'd be doing better if I were you. And then for those who don't know, John is in Hawaii. That's where he's originally from, and that's where he's retired to. And we were just talking. I'm having snow in Cincinnati, and he's got 80 degrees on the island. So I'm upset already.
Hey, it does get cold over here, you know. We had at least, 64 last night, you know.
Oh,
God. It's almost time to break out the winter jacket.
But, John, let me ask you a question. Isn't there a mountain where you can actually snow ski on one of the islands somewhere?
Yeah, that's the Big Island. Matter of fact, it's strange that you said that because it's snowing up there. It was snowing up there 2-3 days ago.
Yeah, and most people,
they talked about 5 inches of snow.
Yeah, I was trying. I think it was Lars Anderson showed me a picture of that one time, and I thought he was ribbing me. You know, he said, "Yeah, this is Hawaii." I said, "Yeah, now what are you drinking, man? You're crazy."
Yeah, no, it's on the Big Island, and it's where the crater is, and yeah, it snows over there. Oh, about every 3 or 4 years. We didn't get any last year, but it gets very cold up there. But this year we had quite a bit of snow.
You know, we were talking just before we came back on the air that you and Sam Steamboat, who just passed away this past year, broke in about the same time. What year was that, John?
Oh, mercy. That was, 1956, 57, somewhere in there.
Okay.
And, yeah, he and I wrestled amateur together, and we used to go to the Army, Navy, and Marine bases and wrestle the armed guys, the armed forces, because they didn't have wrestling in the schools over here at that time.
Huh, that's why he got so stiff, wrestling with his Army guys.
Oh, yeah, well, nothing's changed. I'm still stiff.
You know what? I don't know that I've ever told you this. I said it when I introduced you that we met in Nashville. I think it was 68 or 69. But when I was breaking into business for Tony Santos in Boston in 1960, a couple of guys and I, we'd sneak down and buy tickets for Eddie Quinn shows at the Old Garden. And I remember seeing Rubber Man Johnny Walker. It wasn't Peter Maivia. Who was the was your tag team partner, or you managed or something?
Where are you talking about again now?
Boston. Rubber Man Johnny Walker, was 1960.
Yeah.
Was it a Samoan or a Hawaiian wrestler? I'm trying. It wasn't Peter Maivia. But it was,
No. Well, see if I've been able to tell you if you hadn't asked me. Prince Maiava.
Okay. Yeah, Prince Maiava. You're right. Exactly.
Prince Maiava.
Where did the Rubber Man gimmick come from? That's because when I first heard of Johnny Walker, it was Rubber Man Johnny Walker.
That was out of Texas. Paul Bosch is the one that suggested for me to take the name of the Rubber Man for the reason that I was so flexible and I could bend myself so many different ways at that particular time. Of course, I can't even hardly bend over to get a golf ball anymore. But nevertheless, I was extremely limber back then. And Paul Bosch, as a matter of fact, I coached his teenage kids in school for a season over there in Houston. And one of the boys took championship, and another one got a trophy for being the most outstanding wrestler. So that kind of put a feather in my cap. It made me feel good.
All right.
But Paul Bosch was the one that actually started the name the Rubber Man.
Now, we're going to talk about, obviously, wrestling, too, because that was the highest point of your career. But you also wrestled as the Grappler in Tampa under the mask before wrestling, too.
That's correct.
And
I was, matter of fact, I wrestled, as a lot of people well know, Jack Briscoe, and I had one of the most fantastic matches that I can always remember. He's, also an amateur wrestler back when, and we had a wrestling match in Orlando, Florida, and when the match was over, we got a standing ovation. That the people enjoyed it so much and that lasted for almost 5 minutes. The promoter went out of his skull. He couldn't believe it, what he was seeing. But even Jack Briscoe came to me and said, "Geez, Johnny," he said, "I've never had that happen before." I said, "Well, the people down here in Florida are very wrestling oriented, you know."
Yeah, they were. Well, that whole territory was educated to good, solid work, right? I mean,
yep.
It wasn't a lot of gimmick stuff and crazy stuff, but it was all built around wrestling.
Yeah, they liked wrestling.
Exactly.
And we gave them, you know.
Who?
We had. Huh? Go ahead.
When you went into Atlanta as Wrestling 2, what provoked that? What set that off? How did that happen?
Well, as you well know, Tim Woods was in there at that time as Mr. Wrestling. And Leo Garibaldi was the booker.
Right.
And he got in touch with me, and he asked me, "Johnny, would you mind wearing the mask?" And I said, "Well, I've done it once. I guess I might be able to do it again." And he filled me in on what he wanted to do. And anyway, we decided on the solid, the white with the black trim. And I came in as Mr. Wrestling too, and of course he teamed me up with Tim Woods, and Timmy was God bless him, he's gone too now, and he and I were perhaps the best tag team combination ever. We never had a cross word. We always got along. We just it was just one of those magical things that. That happens very, very often, on off, I should say. You know, a lot of guys get to be tag team partners, and they're always grumbling at one another.
The last time I remember you and Timmy being together, I think, was at the thing thing at Cauliflower Alley a couple years ago in Vegas, right?
Yep, that's right. That's the, in fact, that's the first time that I got to see him.
Yeah.
And now, next thing I heard, his wife called me and told me what happened. You know, he passed away.
Yeah, I had said to Doc before we went on the air and earlier in the show, I said, if you talk about Georgia wrestling history, my God, Mr. Wrestling too. Well, Mr. Wrestling as well, but it was so much the meat of the meal for how many years, John? How many years did you work as Wrestling Two there?
Well, I came in there in 70. Let's see, 70. Yeah, right in 70, and I stayed there until 1989.
19 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a hell of a run in one territory.
That's a good run, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But people, I love the people over there, and they love me, and so we just got along super well, you know, super good and whatnot. And Timmy, unfortunately, he kind of wanted to go to Charlotte, and so we kind of split at that particular time, and that's where things kind of all of a sudden happened. He had that plane crash and kind of messed up his back. He tried to come back and be my partner 1 week, and he just couldn't do it. So he quit at that particular time, and that was the end of his career.
I know practically every wrestling magazine on the newsstands during the middle of the 70s and through that was always something about Wrestling 2 in there. And, of course, I think one of the biggest, most famous is the one with you and Jimmy Carter's mother.
Oh, yeah. Lillian Carter,
she was
a love. Let me tell you something. She got in touch with the promoter in Columbus, Georgia, and he called me on the phone and told me that Lillian Carter would like to have a personal interview with you. And I said, wow. I said, that's impressive.
And this is the president's wife?
No, his mother.
Oh, it's the president's mother.
That's his mom.
Okay.
Correct. Yeah. As a matter of fact, this was just before he got inaugurated. And I went to they had the sheriff and the state patrol to come pick me up in Columbus, and they took me down to Plains, Georgia, where he lives, down to their house, and I went into a very private room, and Lillian and I sat down and we talked about the wrestling and a lot of other things and whatnot, and lasted for almost 2 hours, I guess, and. She invited me to the inauguration, and I said, oh, I'd love to come, you know. So they called me up and said that they would be very happy to have me to come. And I said, well, that's terrific. And then they said, well, you'd have to remove the mask. And I said, well, I can't do it. And so I didn't go. That would have been a big thrill for me, though, but I... You know, I just when you have something going for you, you don't want to throw it out the window for other things, you know. And I was just a guy that I took great pride in building the image of Mr. Wrestling, too, and I didn't want to discard that.
Right. When you have, you know, with something like that, did they tell you why they wanted you to take off the mask? Was it security reasons? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean, some joker could have went up there and said, I'm Mr. Wrestling, too. You know,
mm-hmm.
Had a mask on, and God knows who he might have been. So they couldn't allow that.
Well, that's too bad, but the former president did make it known that you were his favorite wrestler of all time.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. I had a picture taken with him, and it matter of fact, it's in his private book, his life book. He's got a headlock on me. I have the book, and his mom gave it to me and autographed it and all that. You know, so.
Oh, that's
it. I had a lot of very special things that happened to me while I was Mr. Wrestling too.
Yeah, that was. I mean, I remember that I was in the territory, Doc, in part of 73 and 74, and it was phenomenal. It really was. You know something, John, that I was thinking about the other day when Doc said you were going to be on the show. is that you remember when we all got, it was you and Bob Armstrong and I think were the heads of the committee, if that's what you call it, but all the boys, what was it, $5 a show that pitched in to help, and it was like for medical expenses, which was something that wasn't done in the business at that point in time. Remember
when it's amazing that you remember that. That's terrific. Yeah, it was kind of my idea. You know, we didn't, we couldn't get any insurance because our risk was too high, and no insurance companies would want to, would even look at us. You know, so I said, heck, I'll just open up an account and I'll make our own insurance thing here. And yeah, I went around and collected $5 from all the guys. And what that did, if the guys ever got injured, any way, shape, or form, walking from and to the ring, they would be covered. Anything that happened in the ring and walking from the dressing room to the ring or back from the ring back to the dressing room, if you got injured or anything during that time, you were covered fully.
Wow.
And a couple of the guys got hurt, and I said, just get the bill and hand it to me.
Curtis Smith was one, if I recall, right?
Yeah. And it was, you know, it was a good deal for the guys. I mean, what
sure.
the heck? $5 you know, a month, that's not much, you know.
No, not at all, not at all. You know, Doc, one of the things that John and I have in common as well, I drove dragsters and he drove stock cars.
Ah.
And you would know that if you'd ever ridden on any trips with him like I did.
Oh, we go up and down the highway. We definitely kind of had the pedal to the metal, I suppose you might say. But, you know, when you have to travel 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 miles, you can't drive too slow because you'll end up falling asleep. You got to kind of break the law a little bit there.
I never slept when I rode with you.
Well, probably because I didn't let you.
Where was it? Johnny Long, Doc Young. Johnny Long was a heel in the Nashville territory, and you and he went to a stock car track somewhere.
That's
and he
correct.
Was so bad that you had to slow down, otherwise you'd lap him two or three times. Where was that?
That was in Nashville. It was God, you got a hell of a memory, fella. Gosh, God. Or you did some good research, one or the other.
No, it's my memory,
he challenged me, actually, what it boiled down to. And I said, well, hell, I'll take you up on it. And we went out, and they had a couple of Fords that they used to race with down there. And I jumped in one, he jumped in one. They said, all right, get ready to go. And they shot the gun, and he took off. And I just kind of drifted for just a little bit, and finally I saw how he was running. I said, well, there's not going to be much on this one. So I just lapped him one time and went around and was going to lap him again, and he was being foolish and silly and whatnot. And I said, well, he slammed his brakes on, and I kind of slid into him and not a hard bump anyway. And I got out of the car. And people really didn't appreciate that, though. I was surprised. Because in racing, you don't deliberately. I didn't deliberately run into him, but I couldn't stop him any sooner. But they didn't like that, and I thought I learned something there, you know. But it was interesting. I could wheel a little bit. Yeah, that was funny.
One of the things that I want to bring up, and it's never mentioned in your background, but Doc, she passed away a few years ago. Johnny had a beautiful wife named Olivia, who not only made Mr. Wrestling 2's mask and jackets and so forth, she made all Johnny's, but she did robes for Ric Flair, Greg Valentine, and John, you know more, how many guys?
Oh, quite a few. When it comes down to names, I'm bad at that. But she even made a robe for the first time that Lou Fez. He never wore anything but a towel, and she made a blue robe for Lou Fez, and this is way back. And he wore that thing all the time. He just loved it. And also for said Ric Flair and Johnny Valentine and the other fellow's name.
God, so many guys that came through the Atlanta territory that. Right.
Oh gosh, yeah. She made a lot of ropes for guys, including even one of the midgets. He came in there with a couple of guys. He was the manager of the midget was the manager of these two guys from Australia, I believe it was.
I was telling Doc, I would bet that Flair is still wearing some of those ropes.
I'm sure he is.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's quite a talent, and Rick's robes are beautiful.
Oh yeah.
Well, they ranged anywhere from anywhere from probably $3,000 to $5,000.
Wow.
She used nothing but the best rhinestones made from in Austria, and they were very expensive, needless to say. And Ric Flair loved the rhinestones. So you're talking about several hundred of rhinestones being put into his robe, and then he's talking about one at a time.
Yeah.
It wasn't done by machine. It was done by hand.
And when,
so it was a lot of work put into that.
And when we were working the Nashville territory, she did some costumes for some of the country western stars, too, did she not?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she sure did. Oh, gosh. You know, it's funny. I know the people, and I know the names, and my brain just goes blank, you know.
Too many pile drivers.
Yeah, you got that right. Yeah, you bet. Yeah, oh, gosh, yeah. Jesus. But, you know, I had a good life. I enjoyed it, and the guys, I enjoyed a lot of the guys, and some of the guys didn't enjoy me, but that was okay.
You were inducted at one point into the WCW Hall of Fame. What year was that?
That was, let's see, 1992, I think it was, because I was here in Hawaii when that happened.
Ah.
And they called me up, and the fellow that had the TV shows in Atlanta, what's his name?
Sully. Gordon.
No, not Gordon.
No?
Sully. No, the one that owns the TV
show. Oh, Ted Turner.
Ted Turner had his crew to get things together, and they called me down here and invited me to be at the inauguration in Atlanta. And at that time, they didn't tell me anything. They just wanted me to be there. And I said, "Oh hell, I'll be there." You know. And come to find out, I was on the list.
Oh, that's excellent.
That was quite thrilling, also. Yeah, I like I said, I've had a lot of wonderful things that happened to me. I got a lot of serious injuries, needless to say, through the years, but that was okay. It goes with the territory.
Yeah, you know, the business, you know, I think was a lot more fun then, John, because it wasn't so corporate, it was business. We all took care of business, but I just think there are more characters in the night. Well, you know, Sputnik just passed away a few months ago.
I heard that.
And, you know, I said to somebody then, I said, here is a guy who not only was one hell of a heel, but kept the dressing room loose, and he wouldn't be welcome in some of these corporate dressing rooms now because he'd be stern. You know, they say, well, you know, because of his attitude, because of his his personality.
Yeah, that you got that right. You he had a way about him. I mean, it was just you talk about another fellow there too from the south there. Oh, gosh, he had long hair, curly hair, and he always had a handkerchief in his hand or something. And he went in the ring. Malenko?
No. You're not talking about Larry, about Boris Malenko?
No.
No, not him.
Oh, gosh. And my brain went blank again.
I do that sometimes.
Lord.
Well, you know what, though? You stop and think about it. Over your career, I think about it sometimes. Well, I can't remember. But I think, my God, how many matches? That's what I was saying earlier in the show. These young kids today are lucky to work twice, three times a month. And we were working six nights a week at least, and sometimes seven.
Yeah.
Plus an extra TV here and there, right?
Yeah, Yeah, that's right. And I did that for 32 years, I guess, 33 years. And that's other than the time that I took my little vacation during it for a week or something, or 2 weeks.
And that, and your son is in the security business, and you're helping him currently, right?
Yeah. Yeah, he's in. He has a security business over here called Diversified Security, and it's what we do is we put cameras and things in hotels and whatnot for monitoring. And so yeah, he's been in the business now for 7 years now, I guess, and been doing very, very well.
Being in that business and of course living in Florida, have you ever run across the famous bounty hunter Dwayne Dog Chapman?
No.
No?
No, I don't even know him.
No, you never heard of him?
No.
He's quite a famous bounty hunter over there on the island.
Well, he's on TV over here. That's why he's famous.
Oh, you did? Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I don't know him, but yeah, I have seen him on TV. Yeah. Yeah, him and his wife. Yeah, that's right.
He's got a heck of a gimmick, too, doesn't he, John?
Yeah, hell of a gimmick, yeah.
He's like a great wrestler.
Only thing is, one day he's going to run up across one of these crazy Samoans over here, and they're going to put him away. Let me tell you, it's a strange bunch over here, man. But, you know, I mean, if you say you're polite to mind your business, it's okay, but he kind of, you know, he's kind of a wild guy, and I'm surprised he hadn't got tagged before now.
You know, when you and I were talking last week, while you were telling me you've been helping train some kids over there on the island, right?
Yeah. I got there's some young fellows over here that are interested in becoming wrestlers, and I told them, I said, well, okay. Let's see what you got, first of all, you know, and that what I mean by let's see what you got is what kind of heart do you have? You know, do you really have the heart to become a wrestler? And cause, let me tell you, to be a wrestler, you do have to have heart. You got to have to have the, you know, what really want this particular thing, because it doesn't, it's not all sugar and cream. Let me tell you something. I mean, things happen. And I kind of put them through a bit of a rough test, and I have a workout routine that I have them go through, and I had about 27 of them at one stage at a time, and I went through each one of them, and I said, okay, I'll see you fellas tomorrow, and I had two guys to show up the next day, so that just goes to show you what kind of heart they had.
It's got to be tested, though.
Yes, exactly.
Well, you know, the thing is that they went home, and of course they were sore. They were sore from head to toe. I mean, that's what happens when you you know, work out and do exercises. Nothing with weights, just calisthenics, mm-hmm. And they couldn't handle it. I mean, they just you know, one of them things. But just because wrestling is a light thing in so many respects, that doesn't mean that it doesn't take a lot of effort, and you have to be a good athlete. That goes without saying.
You have to have stamina.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes. That's one of the things. You know, I think, John, that you know, I've been doing training over here for since '93 now, and it's just. On too many levels, the kids, it's too easy to get in the business. And when you and I, when you broke in way ahead of me, but, I mean, it wasn't an easy trip then. I mean, they stretch you out and listen to you scream before they decide whether they're going to smarten you up. So.
That's correctly right. And you know what? It's that way over here. I don't pull punches. I never have, and I probably never will. I mean, if you want to get into something, then you're going to have to enjoy it, but you're also going to have to be in shape for it. And probably 85% of the guys that come down to train, they're not that way. They don't have the heart. They don't have the ability to become wrestlers. It's that simple. And I let them know about it.
Well, you know what? I think there's not. I don't see anything wrong with that because they learn to respect the business, and that's. I was saying earlier tonight on this show that too many of the young guys don't respect the business now because it was too easy for them to get in.
Well, I've had a couple of guys that, you know, lift weights. You know, they came walking in there, looked like King Kong. I said, "Well, you guys look like you kind of work out a little bit." And he said, "Oh yeah, we push some weights." And I said, "Well, now we'll see how your stamina is. Let's see if you can last a minute or two." And you know, lifting weights and getting big muscles is not what it's all about. It's you have to have talent, and you have to be in shape for that talent.
Yeah, the look is just one part of the puzzle.
Oh yeah, I mean it's okay to look good. Don't misunderstand me. But at the same token, you've got to be in shape, and you have to have the heart to take the bump now and again. You know, mm-hmm. if you can't handle that, then you're barking up the wrong tree. You know?
Now you've got some great shows going on over there. As we've said, you're the head trainer for Hawaii Championship Wrestling. How often do you run out there?
Well, we run actually every Saturday out at the Army base, and they've been doing very well out there. You know? I think for the simple reason is that the rules over here are very strict. There's no spitting. There's no showing any kind of ill feeling towards gestures, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
No obscene gestures.
Right. And so therefore, the state here backs us very much for that simple reason. And it was something that Linda didn't quite understand at first. And I kind of pointed it out to her. The guys are going to have to learn to keep not only that, but keep the wrestling in the ring, not out on the floor, because the people on the other side can't see what's going on.
Right.
They pay to see wrestling, so leave it in the ring. You know, and that way, so far she's been doing that, and the results have been terrific.
That sounds good. Excellent. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. We have to get out of here. Johnny, I want to thank you for being on the program. It's been very educational and very interesting. Can you let us know, do you have like a website for HCW?
I don't. I'd have to get with Linda, and she does. In fact, I'll talk to her and see, have her get, well, you know her, don't you?
Yes.
And you give her a call, and she has a website over there.
Okay, we'll have to put a little link up for that.
And we'll plug.
Yeah, I just kind of, when I retired, I just really kind of got away from wrestling for quite some time, and so I haven't really got into it that much, other than when Linda approached me. This has only been the last 4 or 5 months, I guess.
So you're just playing a lot of golf and just relaxing. I hate you for
that's
that.
That's right, Ross. Yeah.
out there in freezing Hawaii.
Yeah, I got down to 64 last night. Oh my
God. I can't give no one the big knee anymore. So I go out and I beat up golf balls.
That was one of the things. I was always tickled to death to be a babyface because I never had to take that damn knee, and it always looks so devastating. I thought, oh, Lord, I don't want to end part of that.
Well, Johnny, like we said, thank you for being on the program, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Well, it's been a real pleasure, and you folks, God bless all of you, and the fans out there that are listening, God bless you too. And
John, it's always a pleasure. You've it's proud to have worked with you, and you've been a class act all through the business. God bless you, my friend. It's always a pleasure.
Well, you take care of yourself, Les, and you too, sir. And have a chilly evening.
All right, rub it in. Go ahead.
Don't worry, we will. We will.
Okay, buddy. God bless. Take care. Okay,
Mr. Wrestling 2, Johnny Walker here on Wrestling Weekly, guys. That's going to wrap things up for this week. Next week, don't forget, we've got, of course, Lizzie Valentine from Wrestling Society X. She's going to be on the program. And, of course, a good friend of yours, Les.
Yeah, Jerry Oates is going to be with us, and then the following week we've got Kevin Kleinrock, who is the producer of Wrestling Society X and vice president at Big Vision Entertainment. And
Ace Steele.
And Ace Steele.
Yes.
Or the Donald, whatever you want.
The Donald.
Yes.
Check it out, guys, WrestlingWeekly.com. Check out our site every day for news. Of course, we've got our No Second Chances DVD on sale for a mere $8.99, guys.
Oh.
Check it out. I know you've been saving up.
You can see Doc Young and all his splinters.
Absolutely. We'll be back with you next week, of course, on Tuesday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Doc Young and Les Thatcher saying goodnight, everybody.
Stand back. There's a hurricane coming through.